Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Open our hearts, O Lord. Give us one special word, one joyful new idea that will carry us through the week ahead in your holy name. Amen. The creation story is born through words. Humans were created through words. "Let there be light," words. Adam and Eve got in trouble through words. Eve, speaking to the snake, says, "Did God really, seriously, really say we can't eat fruit, the fruit of the tree of good and evil?" Language is the carrier of good news, of the scripture, of the communion and fellowship that we share, of the promise of forgiveness. Language communicates trust and courage. Language expresses joy. But language is not always straightforward. For example, in the country of Rwanda, Central Africa, one of my former homes, I was shocked to learn they have a word for today. Today. And where I would say tomorrow or yesterday, they have no word. Their word for tomorrow is today plus one. It's a plus one. But the word for yesterday is also plus one. So depending which way you are going in chronology, thank you very much. If you're not born and speaking Kinyarwanda, you will be very confused. Today we have a rare privilege of hearing a conversation between Jesus and the disciples. Oftentimes the conversations are yes, no, question, answer. But today we enter into something very different. Today we will look at the language of the conversation. In the reading today, we will search behind the meaning of one specific word, a word so mysterious, so profound, so essential to our Christian faith, that when the disciple Peter puts that word on his lips and first speaks it, Jesus stops him. And Jesus will say to him and to the disciples, "You must never speak this word. The word is Messiah, but it must never be spoken." The entire Gospel of Mark says over and over and over, this must be secret. The secrecy of the word. Yes, today, with Jesus, words do matter. In today's conversation, we find the disciples in a group. The conversation takes place after weeks of frenzied activity, more crowds, more picnics where the disciples forgot food again, more healing, more teaching, more debates with religious leaders, and also long and stirring walks along the paths of the northern Galilee and around and over the sea. Finally, we hit a break. We hit a moment, a chance for Jesus and the disciples to touch base, to catch up, to enjoy their close friendship, to be with Jesus in a very different way, a personal way. Jesus appears relaxed, open, and starts the conversation somewhat casually. "So, fill me in. What's going on? What are folks saying about me?" We would say, "What rumors are you hearing? What's going on out there? What's the gossip?" Well, the disciples love this because there is so much that they can share about what's going on out there. And so they eagerly jump in. Some say, "Oh," some say, "You're just like John the Baptist," meaning stubborn, looking for trouble. "You are a popular preacher and you are serious about doing the work of God, just like John did at the River Jordan." Yes. Or others say, "You resemble really Elijah, the prophet that we remember every Passover, the one who will prepare for the coming of the Jewish Messiah." Elijah precedes the Messiah. Others are talking about Jeremiah. But Jeremiah's tough, does not mince words, was persecuted and punished, but did not hesitate to speak powerfully and truthfully to kings. And that's just a few opinions. Surely we know there were others. We observe in our imagination Jesus pausing, getting set to interrupt this growing list. There is another part of his question, after all. "Okay, now, who do you say I am?" Everything is flipped. Now it's personal. The mood turns from chatty, detached to me, inside myself. No newspaper, no Google, nothing, just me. Not words from somebody else, from the scholars. No. No matter how insightful the disciples are, the conversation must be at this point intimate, and it must come from within each heart. This question, directive from Jesus, says to us, stop a minute, just hold up and talk to me. What is really going on? The Psalms, the readings, yes, they are lovely. The prayers, beautiful, but what? Tell me, what is going on inside you? We have to imagine that there was a pause, but we also know that Peter is always ready to say something. The other disciples probably cast their eyes toward Peter and say, go on, Peter. You go first. Enter Peter. Peter blurts out, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Full stop. The word has been spoken in the presence of the disciples for the first time. The word Messiah. Messiah who has been prayed for, who has been hoped for hundreds, hundreds of years. The Messiah whose coming has been wept for. The deliverer of God's people. The Mashiach, the anointed one, anointed and sent by God. Anointed and sent to inaugurate the very kingdom of God, Messiah. Jesus reacts to the word and to Peter. Okay, his reaction is odd. And you won't know the full reaction till next week. So that is just a warning. Come back next week to hear the rest of it. Jesus reacts, blessed are you, Peter. Simon, son of Jonah, blessed are you. And the disciples are, oh, brother, you know, we expected this much. Blessed are you, even though you never thought of this yourself. This never came out of you. Peter, this was never your idea. Talk about a smackdown. This is horrible. First, he's praised. Blessed are you, Peter. Okay, Peter, you could never figure this out on your own. Come on. We all know that. Humiliating. Okay, not very polite, this Jesus. Next, blessed are you, Peter. You're still blessed. Blessed are you, Peter, because my Father has revealed this to you. Okay, let's just make sure we get this bizarre situation. First, blessed. blessed are you, then forget about you. You could have never figured this out on your own. But you really are blessed because guess who gave you, worked inside of you to give you this secret, this news? The Father. The Father's working through you, Peter, in spite of yourself. The Father gave you the answer. Peter, you cheated. Remember that show on TV where you could call somebody and they would try to help you figure it out? Well, the Father in heaven helped Peter. There are great implications here for the future of God's people. When Jesus is no longer among them, there are words here about the future, a future that seems to have promise, but let's not kid ourselves. Words that will also confuse not only Peter, but everyone listening. Peter, you will carry the keys, those keys. There is only one set of keys. You will carry the responsibility of the church. And the keys that you will receive will unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. These keys give you authority to govern, and the church, those who follow, will know and recognize that authority. These keys that I'm giving you today will both forbid on earth and permit on earth. Peter, the rock, the play on words, Petros, Peter, Petra, rock, live up to your name. Peter, you are the rock. You will become God's rock. And you will be struck, crushed. You will be bewildered by what this means. And the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This insertion in Matthew is speaking to the church of his day. And it is saying to them, Jesus is among us. The Spirit working through the disciples, the apostles, the leaders, those who guide and love and die for the church. There's one great story of an early saint who was so anxious as a teenager to be martyred when the persecution wept through his city. He prepared to go out, probably in white, and be taken and killed. His mother, however, determined he wasn't quite old enough. Sound right? She hid all his clothes, and he was too embarrassed to go out and die. Our listeners today, especially Peter, are stunned. But Jesus is actually not finished. He ends with a warning. He ends with this command, never share what we've discussed. Do not put this word on your lips. This is a secret until it is no more a secret. Reminds me of World War II spy movies, which I adore, who are forced, men and women, to sign the Official Secrets Act. We have great movies that have come up in the past 15, 20 years because the official secrets have now been declassified. Messiah secret will be declassified. The question is when, the question is how, and the question for next week is what will that do for the disciples? And so, one brief conversation, and we will leave it right there. We will begin where we are leaving off. Matthew will help us to see just why this precious truth of Messiah may not be uttered, at least not yet. Not until it is time. We remember Isaiah saying, God's ways are not our ways. God's timing is not our timing. This timing belongs only to God. Amen.
Did I turn it off?